Well, hey, you made it. David here.
Vern here. Welcome to the GIST Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming.
The GIST Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, mostly ours. Show notes for every episode are found at thegistpodcast.com.
Come back often? Feel free to add the GIST Podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow David and I on Facebook at The GIST.
All links are in the show notes. Let's start the show.
That's a good idea.
Welcome to episode 4 of the GIST Podcast. My name is David Schmeichel.
My name is Vernon McCarty.
And we're going to talk about two really cool things tonight. A little bit about our conscious mind.
Conscious mind and consciousness.
What we think we know about our conscious mind.
Yeah, which is very little.
Totally. I know more than you, but I mean, we'll figure that out anyways. And then the value of being uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
We had some killer stories earlier, regretfully not recorded.
Yeah, let's talk about being uncomfortable.
Oh, that was a rather comforting sound, actually.
Well, we are recording this on a Friday, after all.
That's right. So we're recording on a Friday to have our recording ready for the Monday. How's that for being conscious?
But conscious and a little ahead of the game.
I don't know, is that conscious?
Sorry, my can interrupted. You are going to start talking about some stories and some interesting things happening.
Oh, yeah. I have this funny little story that goes on in my head that I should be recording all the time because there's just so much gold at any moment, and it's just in the moment and you can't prepare for it. And then I have the other side going, you're a freak for thinking that, like, oh my God, you're so obtrusive and like you don't have, you're not going to have that much interesting stuff going on in your world to have it actually justified to be recorded for so long. And then we have this breakout session in our backyard.
Yeah.
And it was epic.
Totally.
Like crying tears.
Laughter.
Laughter type epic.
Yeah.
Yes. Listen, not missed, but not repeated.
Listen, I don't think you're crazy at all.
Thank God.
Well, it's me saying I don't think you're crazy. It's not really saying much, but
right.
Just some of the source. Let's get back, you know. No. But I often think about that myself because you're right. Like, and it brings me back. Remember the first episode, we forgot to talk about Al, capturing legacies.
We totally did.
So that brings me back to that conversation. He's really onto something about like the stories that are missed. They die with people.
Totally.
Something as simple as that, that story we were talking about outside in that whole episode with the laughter, like it was dramatic. It was hilarious. I was struggling to tell a story because I could see how hard you were laughing. It's so funny. But you're right. Like if you imagine how cool it would be at like, I don't know, an anniversary party or some type of celebration or a Christmas or a funeral, as fucked up as that is. But if you had like this, you know, how people show those slideshows, they're amazing. But yeah. Imagine you had all these like video clips and sound bites of like your life, you know, at your whatever 60th wedding anniversary, you know, like how cool would that be?
And crafted inside of a storyline. To really bring it back full circle to what Al does. So it's capturing legacies.
Capturing legacies.
That's what it's called. It is so cool. He's a startup here local in Calgary. I met him at a networking event. We just hit it off and talked about everything. And I was just so captivated by what he's an anthologist.
He's a hard guy not to hit it off with, man.
He really is.
He is a gem, this guy.
Yeah. So, you know what's interesting is I've actually signed up for his service.
Oh, nice.
Because my grandparents are 85.
That's exactly what he's doing.
I don't know anything about their past.
Isn't sad too, right?
Anything about their past. Like they immigrated from Germany during one of the world wars. I shouldn't say that. I'm not actually clear. I know they lived through a world war, but they didn't immigrate through a world war.
See, here's a struggle I had growing up. It's exactly what you're talking about right there. I literally made shit up on my family tree projects.
Sounded pretty good though, right?
Well, of course it sounded good. I made it what I wanted to. That's the fantasy that I had as a kid. Like, this is what I wish my life was like. But I didn't know anything then. I would ask my family and you'd get like broken little.
Yeah, weird. You know, yeah. So I want to create a little more structure around that and to capture it while they're here.
Yeah.
Because it would be just so awesome to be able to share that with my kids. They know their grandparents. Mm. And so to get their story when it really now makes a difference for them. And I actually do that. So the whole Google Photos sync, my two kids have a Google account and I share them stuff every once in a while through their email. And I'm going to give it to them. So instead of documenting, I'm doing, working on, trying to do the same thing.
Here's something I'll throw at you and I'll see if like where you're at with it. I would actually like to, like, what would it take to have, not to get away from what Al's doing. We'll go back to that.
I'm sure. Awesome.
But we will go back to that. So people have a clear understanding of what we're actually talking about. But what would it take actually to have, you know, a few cameras, a primary and like a B-roll going, like, you know, if you're spending most of your next, you know, 6 hours, cause often you are in the kitchen or in the office or, you know, the kids are upstairs playing. Like, what would it take to actually have the capacity to capture
days and days
of data?
Yeah, two phones.
Just two phones.
Two phones, two tripods. And,
but how much room would the phone have to have to run?
An SD card. Well, I mean, if you were to do it like nonstop.
Well, not nonstop, but I mean,
be more intentional.
Yeah, more intentional. You do it like you make a commitment to do it on a daily basis for, let's say, a minimum of 2 to 3 hours. You know, like you capture the high times.
2 to 3 hours. So here's how I did it, because I've been playing with this as I've been. I actually got connected to how much vlogging I've done.
Yeah.
I've got like 20 vlogs.
We both have a fair amount of videos sitting out there.
You got to look at your videos and make sure that people connect them to you, as in like how it's being labeled. Because all my videos were about what it is I was talking about, but it wasn't referencing me. So it's not showing up when I
Google
for myself.
Oh.
Right? Like there's these things that, and this is all inside of.
Good point.
The search and what shows up and optimizing that, and it's not really my world. So I got connected to that today.
That's a deep world, man. The SEO and
all
that.
Thank God we know people that.
Jesus, that is insane. I learned more from sitting with Randy for like an hour. Randy, am I saying that right? Milanovic? Yeah. Randy Milanovic? Is that right?
Milanovic
from Kayak. He is – and in his lunch and learns, like even there, he's so calm and so present when he talks and presents. It's just like, is it admirable? You can just learn just even that just part of the game totally from just hanging out and watching. Yeah. Anyhow, to bring it back, just so people have a clear idea, I'm going to explain a little bit about what Al does from what I remember when I met with him about a month ago. And I need to follow up with that guy just to hang out again. So first of all, he's super passionate about how important it is to capture these stories. And he tells you a story, like this image he has in his head about this little boy, like maybe 12 years old. His father's asking him to mow the lawn. And the kid doesn't want to do it. And then, mow his grandfather's lawn. So then he drags the kid over to mow grandpa's lawn, right? But then he sits in there with grandpa and the grandpa starts telling him a story about... I think Al's telling me this and he's like, you know, right into it, but starts telling the kid a story about how they settled and how, his story was like and the journey and all that kind of stuff. And the kid was actually like enrolled and super captivated by it. And then, dad needed him to go somewhere else. So grabs him. And then a couple hours later they get the call and grandpa does. He tells me this story and he made that up, or at least he told me he made it up. Oh. He could have heard it or it could have actually happened. God forbid. And he just said like, and then he's literally, the guy's in tears, man. We're sitting in a fucking Tim Hortons, just met the guy. Like,
are you sure that was a made up story then?
I don't, well, no, but no, but the way he was telling it, he goes, I just have this, this is what he said. He goes, I just have this, I can't, this image in my head. Like, you know,
so this is what sources him.
Yeah, it really drives him.
He doesn't want the covert passion.
Yeah, the covert passion. He doesn't want that to happen to anybody.
Totally.
So, because the kid was excited, he's like, I'm going to come back tomorrow, right? And then all of a sudden they get the call and he's just like, he's right in it. And he's like, you know, imagine. And I'm just like, dude, you got me. Like, yeah, I'm here with you.
He is not on, like, there's no presence.
Man, he should have a podcast. The guy.
He's going to have to after we talk to him. We'll share him with this. Like, dude.
We'll share him with this and maybe we should get him on the show. We keep talking about that. Like, when's a target? Let's set a goal by... Because, you know, we still have to gist a little bit and get our shit together.
I before would say when we get to episode 10, we'll have a guest speaker.
Sure. That's a mini milestone. Episode 10. That's a good idea.
Maybe every 10. I mean, I don't know.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter at that point.
Let's start with the 10.
Yeah,
let's
start with the...
Holy shit, dude.
I wish people could see your face when you do that little half eye roll. Let's start with the...
Actually, never mind. I'll tell you that off the radio. That's not appropriate.
Oh, it's not appropriate. Okay, you better write that down because I do not want to miss that. So did we start with discomfort? Where did we start? I don't even remember. I think it was pretty good so far, but. Oh, you really are writing it down. Well done. Did we start with getting uncomfortable?
We talked about both of them, and the value of being uncomfortable is where we ended.
You know what? We can blend. Who cares? We're talking about being uncomfortable and consciousness. In fact, they're very much tied together.
Yeah.
Like, here's how I think of it myself. And this is through some things that I've been exposed to and listening to one Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I mentioned last week. His work is incredible. There's another guy named, I want to say Watkins, Alan Watkins, I think it is. Because there's another guy from an older dude from way back named Watts, I think. Alan Watson. I think I mixed those two up. But anyway, he used to be a brain surgeon, this guy. And his covert passion, what happened is he was in the medical field. This guy, Alan Watkins, he's a British guy, I think, or something like that. Pardon my French. I don't know if that, does that count as racism? I don't know.
No,
but anyway, his, what he was doing is he was getting together with all these surgeons. Okay. And they would see people die on the operating table and they'd be like, well, let's grab lunch. And you know, like nothing happened. And he's like, you know, I couldn't do that. He was like, I'm looking at like his brain or whatever it is. And minutes ago, perhaps this guy's breathing on his own. And now like something left, like he's his life force. Like he's like, I was obsessed and I'm fascinated about what is that?
Right.
What is that? Yes. And how do we tap into it?
Mm.
So what he does is he shares all kinds of natural, just occurring things that happen with the human body and thought, you know, like our urge to add meaning to things and to tell a story when someone looks at you weird. And when you get nervous, if I say, hey, David, are you good at math? And you go, yeah. And I say, can you jump up there and write up a couple of, just write some math on there for me. I'm going to tell you a couple of equations. I want to see how fast you can answer them.
Oh shit!
And all of the, yeah, right. You go, wait, how good am I at math? Like, that came out kind of broken, but he actually did an example like that. What he did was he brought a guy from the crowd and he says, are you need to volunteer? And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to show you the human physiology in action. Something that when you look, like I was talking about last week, when you look completely fine on the outside, but like you're freaking out on the inside and you have no control over it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how you can bring it back to level, right? Because when you're present and you're breathing properly and you're level, that's when you're at your best. So what his whole thing is, he actually teaches executives and leaders how to be at their best every day, all the time.
This is
this guy, Alan Watkins.
Alan Watkins.
Because he's obsessed with like human physiology and consciousness, awesome. Right? Yeah. So yeah, really cool. I don't want to go into the whole thing that he did, but there's lots of free resources of him. And do you have any mentors or role models in that field at all?
Because
I'm going to come back to Dr. Joe.
Yeah, not specifically at that, you know, focus of a practice of an education or thought leadership. You introduced me to Joe Dispenza, which opened up a lot. But I'll be honest, I don't know very much about it. Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah, because there's from what I gather, there's kind of two parts. There's like the human, there's the body. This is what Joe Dispenza talks a lot about. And I'm just trying to like literally wrap my mind around it. And I'm now starting, it's like the whole thing about being patient. Mm. You want it now. And I'm realizing, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe I just got to like be with this. I got to keep listening and keep watching and keep, he says the same things very, very often, right? Because he's trying to explain that we're like a placebo. And basically the thoughts that we have and the feelings that we have trigger the behaviors that we take, right? So it's like you have a thought and it happens so freaking quick.
Yeah, you know,
it takes present. The yeah, it's you have a thought, it triggers a feeling, and that's what's driving your actions, because the body is running your consciousness, you see, like your urges, your thoughts, your feelings, like, oh, I want some sugar, right? So now all of a sudden your body sends a signal to your brain and you're not conscious of it. So then you go to the kitchen and grab a fucking chocolate bar. Like, is that mind-blowing? Because what he's saying is, wait a minute, what is it that's beating my heart? What is it that's healing my cut? What is it that's causing me to breathe, right? So he's totally saying
there's managing a system.
Yes, he's saying the brain is doing all of that, right? But how? And how can I just consciously choose to go, oh, I'm going to have a drink. Wait a minute. No, I'm going to wait. Like, how can I? That's what he's really obsessed with. What's so running?
The decision that happens.
Yes, there's something actually controlling.
So there's two voices going on.
Yeah, well, there's something running the brain. Consider there's something running the brain. The brain's running the entire body, but there's a life force. There's an energy. There's something. Now, what problem with it is though? Is the brain has the ability to think and act on its own, and we're losing our ability, or we don't. We're all at different levels of our ability to tap into our own consciousness. To make those choices. Because literally, you can always, I'm not saying like, you know, making mistakes, blah, 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 there's value to all that stuff, but you could choose a different way all the time, right? You know what I mean? Yes or no. It's there. But there's something that, and you always, you know that little, the quote they say, the little voice? Like, where does that come from? There's something tapping you on the shoulder every time
he's actually got a voice.
Yeah.
Like he's speaking to you.
He's like, wait a minute, what? what was that? Anyway, consciousness. And then again, he goes into our ability to actually manipulate like our physical world because of the programs that we can put into our brain. Our brain is a program, right? Mm-hmm. And you can use consciousness to just continually work and then program your brain to transform your physical world.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really, and then he talks about even like healing yourself. Cause here's the other thing. He says there's like whatever, 70 to 100 trillion cells in the body, right? And you're creating 10 million new cells every second, and 10 million cells are dying. Right. So they're, you know, they're made from the vibrations of our consciousness. Right. So if you're thinking that you're whatever, unhappy, unsatisfied, not fit, your body doesn't feel good. Why me? I'm just going to have another chocolate bar. All those cells
are being regenerated
with that program, that blueprint
that we put on
unconsciously. Now, what he's saying is if we can train ourselves to tap into our consciousness, what then could be possible?
We get more control over our subconscious.
And then what happens is it's very difficult in the beginning, right? Because you have 70 trillion cells potentially that have been trained for however long pulling you in one direction. Right?
Odds are not looking good.
So now we have to really fight like the meditation, clearing the mind, being quiet, being present, taking breaths, like that's the stuff that we got to start to practice so we can really tap into our consciousness and build that muscle and get stronger and stronger. And eventually, you know, whatever your ideal, you know, waking up at this time, eating this type of food, going, you know, doing these types of activities, going to the gym, whatever, those types of activities will eventually be the new program. And it'll become unconscious for you, just easy, like you do everything else you do right now. But it's a totally new habit, new program. So deep shit. And you got to check this guy out.
I just learned a lot just inside of that.
Well, don't say you learned because you heard some twisted, mumbled broken version of what this super intelligent guy is.
Pretty articulate, man.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, like it landed.
Acknowledgement. I appreciate that.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? I was consciously and unconsciously really paying attention to acknowledgement this week.
Were you?
Yes. I noticed it. I was not. Well, thanks for adding to the
parallel, right?
Yeah, perfect. Because I only noticed it when it happened. And Scott would call that being present to the distinction.
Mm.
Right? So like there's a couple times when my wife thanked me for some things. And there was somebody else, I can't actually remember who it was. They thanked me for something and I said, "This is really uncomfortable, but I'm just gonna say thank you. Like, I really appreciate your acknowledgement." Because I want to be like, no, you know, but I noticed that you're thanking me and that I'm uncomfortable with it. You know, like, it's weird.
And what did they say?
Well, it probably kind of went,
"Mayday, mayday. Like,
you know, what the fuck is he talking about?"
Oh my God. Freak show.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So the conscious mind, of which I clearly have very little control over right now. I mean, I'm working on it, but man, do I get pulled in a lot of directions.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because we're human beings.
And that's the other part of the equation and part of the programming.
Totally.
So they're almost like, you're right. There's 7 trillion up against you. And
70.
I mean.
But who's counting at that point, right?
And there are so many with different programs. Because we got to manage a whole bunch of weird things that show up weirdly in all sorts of ways, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that by the mic?
You know what's something that I'm noticing about myself since podcasting? I talk a lot.
Dude, and you talk a lot. Oh, you mean you notice that you talk a lot?
Yes. I notice that I talk a lot.
Yeah, you do talk a lot.
And now I'm seeing that I'm actually impatient when I'm talking because, like, there's noises and things going on in the distraction, and I'm, like waiting to talk.
Yeah. Get on with it so I can keep going.
Yeah. So I'm just going to – I don't even know where I was at, but I'm just going to – we're talking about Tony Robbins. He's awesome. I'm just going to take a deep breath, and I'm gonna chill.
Wow. Talk about being present to the distinction and working on reprogramming. Right?
Thank you.
That's part of it.
Because this is...
And it's so fucking hard for you to just like... For any... Me, right? I go into a mode of... It's a creation that I want to get really perfect. And so I will overthink and overcreate and overstructure... And it's right. Just part of the programming. It's also one of my strengths, but it's...
Dave Bonk would say, you let perfect get in the way of good enough.
I totally... Man, oh man. It's good to just pause too, right?
Mm.
So, and we can totally just take that piece right out. It doesn't need to be there either.
That's the cool thing about this. But at the same time, there's certain things that are occurring during the episode that I actually want. Like that right there... That's uncomfortable for me.
Dude, I acknowledge you for that because the ego is like, you motherfucker, I can't believe you just did that to me.
Oh, right on.
Right? Well, no, but like internally, it's like.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? You just called me on and you're now grappling as if someone insulted you. I'm relating to it that way. Like there's an operating system that I'm trying to get.
Yeah. Changed. Yeah. There's a part of me you're saying that's insulted by what I just did.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. The ego's going, dude, you know what that is? Oh my God. We got to give a shout out to Outwitting the Devil, man. Dude, you got to listen to that. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. That shit is trippy as fuck, man. That book is awesome. Like so much value. And it's exactly what you just said. It is the drifter inside of you that's going, you're trying, or the, if you want the
depending
devil, the devil, saying you're trying to silence me, right? Like all those default programs though, like one of my things so that I can feel comfortable is just keep fucking talking.
Mm.
Right.
So one of my comfortable things is empowering you to keep talking. But it works really well.
Isn't it also interesting if you see, number one, first of all, how the fuck did we become friends?
Dude, that was not like, that would not happen in real life.
Yeah. And then you look at, we are virtually polar opposites.
Yeah.
We really, really are. And we favor each other like perfectly. You know what I mean? Like you said, my thing is to empower you to keep talking so I don't have to say a fucking thing.
That's right.
Right? Like, and then there's so many of those about us. Me being the winger, you being the overanalyzer, super fucking structured, you know, like the whole thing. Or winger? Yeah, winging it.
The left winger.
Me being the winger? Yeah, I've never played hockey ever, but.
So in looking at that, for me, I see why I do that. And it is what I was never growing up, right? So there is a natural like aspiration to have some of that. And I would
I want to just point this out too. Let's try to be really descriptive with when you say some of this and some of that. I totally get it.
But they don't.
Because we're like best buddies. But yeah, exactly. Like I totally get what you're saying. They might not necessarily. So I want some of that energy or that enthusiasm or that voice or whatever, like so that they go, oh, you know what I mean? They're with it.
Well, and it also helped me own it.
Maybe that's part of
that's totally
what's,
part of the
what's going on there. Interesting. Way to be present to that.
Right?
Well
right.
done.
Holy well done. Shit.
We are growing. We are growing.
In the moment. Experience the moment.
Yeah. Hashtag growing.
So some of the things that I want, you show up for me like someone who does not care, is okay with being the first one to speak. Just like break the silence, but not just break the silence, like that there is a charisma behind that. And I know I'm strategic, and when I do that, I know I do do that. But there is, for me, it's like it takes a lot. I have it that it takes a lot for me to do that. And so you show up as it being easier for me to do that. And so I'm working for that. And there's just like you have a people like Vern, right? Like they're me. Okay. Wow. So I get, I'm probably challenging some of those.
Dude, it's this is so interesting to me. Like it's so interesting because here I really appreciate it. I'm literally, this is like some true authenticity. I'm literally like tingling because
I just tingled Vern.
Well, no, but like you're showering me with acknowledgement and I appreciate it. I really, really do. And I actually, I'm now seeing, like, I want to appreciate it. So thank you it's so like I'm present to it. I am so uncomfortable
awesome.
With it. It's really interesting. And the other thing is too, the opposite of you, what I did growing up, like you flew under the radar likely you were a wallflower. Yeah.
You had it that you had to.
And imagine you just owned it. Yeah. I got a pretty fucked up life because I have a very interesting upbringing and that's just how it is, baby. Right. But that's what I actually did because it was a defense mechanism for me. You're not going to be able to make fun of me because guess what? I beat you to it. Good luck.
Yeah, it became part of your strategy.
Yeah, I would walk in and be like, yo, what's up? And I'd make everybody else feel uncomfortable and look at me. And meanwhile, half of them were probably like, well, this is an asshole. And half of them were probably like you, like, holy fuck, man, this guy owns it. And not really authentic, to be honest with you. Like, it's a program. Like,
how's that been working for you?
Well, it's exactly like what Scott said. It's gotten me to exactly where I am, and it is the source of my success thus far. And it's also the source of all of my limitations. You know, it's the thing that has me be in a professional environment and somebody will say something and it takes every ounce, every fiber of my being not to pop out a one-liner and crack the room up. And that might be funny and that might be cool. And that's what gets everybody likes Vern.
Totally.
And it doesn't necessarily build, wow, that's a guy. That guy knows his shit and I admire him. I want to be around that guy. I want to work with that guy.
Mm. Yeah, right? It's a different energy.
Yeah. And it's not like there's anything wrong.
No.
There's nothing wrong.
I'm going to tell you a little story. So when Maya and I first started the studio back in Vancouver, just came out of school.
When was this approximately? Like what year?
So this would have been 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when things started. That's when we got married.
That's when everything went kind of downhill.
You know? No. Burn. Somebody's not going to like you.
Love you both. And I love Maya. She knows that.
So we started a studio. We had no idea how to really do business, right? Business development or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I go to a networking event, probably one of my first ever, and I go in the building, and it had like small little trade show booths, and there were people mingling, and I go in, and there is a voice inside of my head going, "You can't do this. There is no way that you can talk to anybody and try to get them to talk to you or be remotely interested in what you have to say. You just can't do this. There's no way, man." And that's the same thing that's going on in my head. You can't, you're an introvert. You can't talk to people. You're not qualified to be in this position right now, over and over and over again. And so right. I go into the trade show / networking event. I go in one side, left side, walk all the way around slowly, casually.
Because right?
I'm interested.
You were blending.
Yes,
I
got to mingle with the crowd. And meanwhile, my
you didn't want to look awkward like a spy, like you're racing through there, like you're looking, totally. You're searching for like a mouse who took your wedding ring or something.
That's how it was going. It's like you got to spend as little time here as possible. Touché.
What was that? Yeah, man. I remember you've told me this story. Yeah,
so and there's a reason why I'm telling you this story.
No, I got that. Thanks.
So that was it. I walk in and I walk out. Like, holy fuck, I am never doing that again.
Right.
And we need somebody who's got to do biz dev for us, which we found. It still took us. I still had to do some of this, like meeting people and trying to sell what it is that we do in a way that has them go, okay, yeah, we'll buy that, right? Like that there was actual value on the other side.
Right.
And I was a designer at the time. So it was purely creative. There wasn't really very much thought put into why we're creating what we're creating. There was, but not nearly to the depth.
More about the look.
Yeah, it was all about the look.
Right.
And we were good at what we did. So it worked. Did the agency, business partner, business developer, charismatic gay guy from England, and no, I'm not being racist, but it paints a picture. He was out there and outgoing, and he had the accent, and he fucking leveraged it, leveraged it, and so he should.
And
what people connected with, what we connected with, you know, he's a good guy, and we did that for 4 years, and near the 4 year mark. He was running, I'm going to say, out of steam, or his network was, there wasn't a whole lot of growth outside of that, or there was some challenge there, right? I don't know what it was. And he made the request of both Maya and I, need you to like go out there and start meeting people.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't do that.
It's not my thing.
I'm a designer. This is why I did this again, because I'm under the radar.
Yeah, right.
Here, look good. Fuck, like here, look good. Mm. And I'm under the radar.
Yeah.
Man, I picked my profession really well.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
And so I resisted tooth and nail. I still went to Chamber of Commerce. I met people, but there was always the voice in the back of my mind going, you aren't kidding anybody.
Right.
There is no, you can talk to that guy.
And I think you said that you had, there's a reason why you're sharing this. So I want you to hold on to that and to shower you back. That's the funny thing about you is you actually don't get how rad you are and how you actually capture, you enroll people when you speak to them, you capture a group, you capture a circle. And you occur like it's not as uncomfortable as you think that you are. Like it to people who know you, they don't guess that. Like even I was with Kathy today and she even mentioned that. She's like, we're talking about character and how you show up. And she's like, oh yeah, you know, David called me out a couple of times and you know how David is. And it was funny the way that she said it because I thought, wow, he wouldn't.
He doesn't know how David is.
That's not something somebody says about David. Like, you know, David is, because she's like, yeah, when he, you know, he like, you know, got in my face, like he told me about it type of deal, right? Like told me to turn it around. And I just like, I think it's interesting.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. There's two pieces to that equation. Why it does occur comforting is, or comfortable and okay for me, is I actually grew up my whole life speaking in front of people.
Right. We talked. Yeah.
Right. Like I was a Jehovah's Witness and I was a practicer of that faith for up until 17 years of age. That whole time I was talking in front of people.
Yeah. And you're doing
door to door and talking to strangers.
Right? Dude.
So I had to like have that look like, no, I'm good and I'm happy to be here and
yeah,
I'll be of service. Right.
How are you not leveraging that?
What do you mean?
Well, my wife told me actually once that she trained a girl who did the skincare thing in the Shoppers and all that kind of stuff. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. And this girl crushed sales, crushed it, because she would just walk up to people and be like, oh, hey, how are you? Are you? And she would just start talking about their product and what are you here for today? And like having a conversation with them because she had done it her whole life. Like they're knocking on strangers' doors, right?
Something's coming up for me. When I made the choice to remove myself.
I removed
all of that.
Got it.
From the equation.
Mm-hmm.
I became awkward and uncomfortable all over again. It was like I was, you know, teenage.
Reborn.
But 20.
Right.
You know, 18, 19.
Just trying to figure it out, like trying to find yourself now.
Who I was. So I essentially pressed reset a little bit on all of that. And all of that got lost.
So what you're saying is, I'm having a conversation with a teenager.
Most times. At the best of times.
Yeah, definitely at our emotional level. It's two teenagers talking.
Yeah,
hey?
Totally. No. So, yeah, I just got connected to that. I let it all go.
Mm.
What's cool, given that, is it's coming back. So I actually, and I'm being super honest here right now, and I really don't want to be... And I feel like I got to have that disclaimer there, but because this is not something that I want to share.
Oh.
I'm going to.
But you're on the edge of the step before the cliff, right?
That's right. Oh, my God.
The free fall.
I get flutters just thinking about
it. Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh. I have to share this story about when I did a free fall. But anyhow,
so
I'm not letting you off the hook here.
Oh, my God. I think I might have lost it.
What?
Represents what I'm talking
you
about.
You said, I just really do not want to share this. And we're talking about how it's coming back.
Thank you. Yeah. It's all coming back. So I do not pick up the phone and make a call to a prospect on the phone.
It's something you don't do.
Oh, hell no. I'm going to like send you 10 emails.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try you on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Maybe, because it's actually now public, I'll do it over Twitter, which I'm exploring right now. I don't actually even do that because it's still pretty revealing, pretty public, pretty exposing.
Yeah.
And I decided to pick up the phone and you know what? I just got to get to this person. So there's a way in which I introduce myself before the phone that just breaks down the barriers, that gets them to know me. And then I make the phone call. Well, I'm starting to. I've only done a handful.
Right.
And that's it coming back, right? Like, it's still, man, I have got this voice inside my head going, you're going to fuck it up. You're going to fuck it up. You're going to fuck it up. Don't say that. Don't try and sell yourself. Don't look too good. Don't look too bad. Like, it's just relentless. And I'm on the phone trying to have a call.
So here's, oh, man, this is perfect. This is perfect.
Usually is.
First of all, I think we've all been there.
Mm.
You know, and that's what we often forget, like the Tony Robbins of the world. There was a time where he was a nervous, brand new, uncomfortable, awkward, like sales guy or whatever he was, trainer or whatever he was doing, right? At some point, right? And it takes courage. There's a lot of people who would listen, or if they were listening, I'm not calling anybody. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And it'll be interesting to see what this now creates for you, because that's like a thing that you're up against, right? And then you start
at my ceiling.
Yeah, you start to do something differently, and then it'll be interesting to see how it transforms.
I want to share what my perspective is. I want to contribute in that way, and I've got some amazingly elaborate and sophisticated barriers that I've crafted around me. It is
so here's crazy. Here's why it's perfect. All those barriers, they were developed, I mean, some maybe consciously, but they were developed unconsciously. It was like something happened. It's like the whole landmark forum thing, right?
Totally.
You told yourself a story. Something happened. You told yourself a story, and then boom, instantly a program got built to create a barrier against that thing not happening again, and so on and so forth. We go into our future, right? And none of it's real.
What?
So here's where we go back to Alan Watkins. So to get present, next time that happens, like just try this on. Because I do it and it helps. So when you're starting to lose it, when you're starting to hear the voices are starting to go or whatever, just start to breathe.
That's what I tell my son when he's working.
Yeah, and
but I don't do it myself.
Interesting, right? And he says, it's called rhythmic breathing. But he says a lot of people go, oh, dude, you know, 1 second in, 2 second hold, once, right? He goes, none of that matters. He goes, all that matters is you keep a consistent rhythm. Right. So if you take a deep breath and let it out, take a deep breath and let it out, like just keep a consistent rhythm. And what that'll do, it like oxygenates blood in your oxygenates. Is that right? I don't know.
I think so.
Anyway, they don't, whatever. Oxygenates your blood and your brain. And then what it does is it re-engages the frontal cortex, I think it's called, because that's what's happening when you're starting to panic, is that's shutting down your ability. really, it's so crazy. Cause remember I said before, that's the new bear. The phone call you got to make when your heartbeat starts going, that's the, your adrenaline's flying. You could fucking punch somebody out right then, but you're sitting in front of a phone.
Totally.
Like how crazy, you could outrun a threat. But you're sitting in front of a phone, you know? So you just take a couple deep breaths and tap back into, hey, no, we don't need this. We don't need this right now. That doesn't need to be triggered. We're not in danger. There's nothing wrong here. You know, like it's all good.
Great tip.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm like, you know, it's unconscious for me. It's something that I have to go, oh yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like things will start. You know where it shows up for me a lot? In my car. Lately, because I get so frustrated with the lack. I'm not saying I'm the best fucking driver in the world, but I mean, come on, people. Like, come on.
I know, it's super frustrating.
You know, all this stuff, merging. People do not understand also how a fucking yield sign works.
I know.
Some people think it's a green light, and some people think it's a stop sign. It's just... It's so crazy,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And the people on their phones too. I am so surprised that there are so many people still.
No, around. How about this guy?
Oh, yeah.
The speakerphone guy?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Get a headset. Get some Bluetooth. Yeah.
That's not the same thing as being hands-free. But are we rambling at this point? Like, I think there was some literal gold in terms of authentic sharing.
We're at I'm recorded at, you know, about an hour, but there's also some of that good stuff.
We talked about consciousness. We totally talked about consciousness and being uncomfortable the whole time.
We did.
And I gotta say, man, I really appreciate you. And I appreciate this episode because I think that we set out as this being kind of a therapeutic thing too. And I think that we're really deepening and discovering a lot of things about ourselves and how we operate and the actions that we need to take and the areas we need to work. So it's
awesome. Who are we kidding? I listen to every one of the episodes, but I'm definitely listening to this one and probably a few times.
Yeah.
Because there's something here that I know I haven't come near to perfecting as part of how I operate. Mm. And I still know how much it would make a difference if I do.
You put out a lot today in terms of sharing things that make you uncomfortable, and I did too. But what you did was you actually put action to it, and you said, "Yeah, I'm making phone calls and doing these things," and you put it out on the podcast, so it's out in the public. So there's something that is burning inside of me, as you know. I mean, this is no secret once you hear, but it is my stand in the world and my passion of empowering people and getting underneath them and helping them create. Like, it's kind of about that consciousness thing, right? Creating power and freedom. And also obviously my passion for insurance planning, like the integral role that plays
life
planning,
man.
Your life, man. Like the benefit to having that in place when you need it is not measurable. And so there's, like you, there's a ton of little voices and things pulling me and about judgment and about you name it, stopping me from just talking to every single person I see and saying, look, this is who I am. This is what I'm standing for. I'm standing for your family and I don't even know you. I'm not here to sell you a goddamn thing. I'm here to have a conversation. And if at the end of that conversation, like what I have to say or share or what I ask you makes a difference, then that's all I want to do. And speaking of which, so there's a couple things that I've been taking on lately that are new and uncomfortable for me in a lot of different reasons. And I'll share a little bit. But one of the things is I actually am going to do, oh my God, I'm right where you were. One of the companies that I'm partnered with, Empire Life, they're sending me 100 co-branded postcards. And so I kept saying this thing, mail out. It's a nice little piece that's not overwhelming and it just gives people a little piece of education. Mm. It's just like mortgage insurance versus personally owned life insurance, like a term insurance policy. What it costs and what are a few of the benefits compared to that shitty bank product. And I kept saying, I'm going to mail these out, babe. And she was like, yeah, why don't you just go knock on some doors,
Oh my God.
And she's like, think about like the interaction you could have. And if no one's home, you just leave it there. But you're going to be able to talk to people. And I'm like,
oh, hell no.
Yeah. Like, come again now.
Oh, I saw the awkwardness is like show up. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Uh-uh. So I'm going to take that on.
How are you going to show up?
Dude, I'm going to show up like, listen, I'm
here. No, I know, but like, how are you going to look? Like, what's...
Oh.
Because that makes a difference, man. Like, in that environment, you got to know who you're playing up against.
Yeah, and also, yeah, the neighborhood, the...
Are you Joe's witness? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But there's a relationship to it, right? And avoidance to it.
Am I the energy company guy?
Are you the energy company guy?
Am I the, what do you call them? Like charity raise guy.
Are you the fundraiser? That's right.
Am I the bottle drive guy?
Are you the bottle drive? Holy shit. There are a lot of guys coming to our door.
And am I the fucking ever dreaded scam artist?
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. So you got that to contend with. That's interesting though. What a way to get connected to people.
Dude, it's just conversations. Yeah.
So how are you going to do it?
So like the image I have in my mind, actually it was really great that you said that, how are you going to show up, and you started talking about that. Like, I'm going to show up, number one, exactly how I do it inside of my, my brand, just a nice pair of slacks and a button down, decent haircut. And I'm just going to knock on their door. And, there might be a pull for me. What I'm probably going to do, I don't know if I'll wordsmith like a script or anything. What I'm going to do, man, is I'm going to be raw and authentic. I'm going to read the energy of the person. And if I get that they want me to be, you know, number one, straight to the point. And here's what I'm here for. I just want to show you a quick little piece of education. Not here to sell you anything. I got a gift for you. I'm just going to leave this behind. I want you to take a look at it. And if you have questions, contact me on the back. And then if they're open, they'll say, here, I'll take you through it quick. And I'll just explain a couple quick points. And then like, I realize the story is this. I realize that there is not a brick and mortar. There isn't a, hey, you know, like you see CIBC and whatever TD Bank, there isn't a, you know, there isn't a storefront for the Empire Life. They're
not made aware of.
They're not made aware of. Yeah. The storefront for the financial planner or the insurance guy, or, and most people don't actually know what that person does. They don't know what they provide.
They would never go there.
They don't know how you support, how they support you. Like they know that they can go to the bank and get a credit card and a checking account and a fucking mortgage and a line of credit and a bunch of other debt products that do not serve you.
Hmm.
Well, we're going to come in and make sure that all that stuff that you, those promises of future cash flow that you made, we're going to make sure that gets looked after no matter what.
Yeah, that's right? Awesome.
So anyway, the point is it like people can't come in and they can't just go into a store. They don't know that this stuff is available. So this is why I'm here today, sir, is just to show you and share with you a little bit about our, you know, what we make possible in the world.
Man, I want you to document that. Not like document them, but rather document the experience of it.
Mm.
Because what kind of learnings you're going to come from doing that exercise that I'll take away from.
You know what?
You know, like let alone anybody else.
All right. Well, let me make you an offer.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Let me make you an offer. Why don't we... you know, when the time comes, we'll set it up. We'll coordinate it. I want to do a little bit of research about where I want to be and all that kind of stuff. But why don't we enroll yourself and a couple other people? Why don't we just do like that from a distance social experiment thing, and we'll just run. We'll just film it and like get a couple, at least, you know, a few hundred houses.
Dude, I love that.
In those interactions. Yeah.
I love that.
Why not?
That'd be super funny.
It's terrifying.
It's super terrifying. Even for like being... What are you filming? What are you doing? What's going on here? Why are you here?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Go, man, Vern, run!
You're just gonna have to like look all incognito with like
a big ass camera.
Yeah, like no, a selfie stick, and just be like
just that awkward guy walking down the street with a selfie stick,
just whistling to yourself. Yeah, no, but I like how
that would be cool. Great.
Would that be?
That is like living reality. You get to showcase what it actually does, what you got to do.
What it takes, man. And that's just it. Like even today. So I'll share a part of that discomfort. And I have to acknowledge, like you did earlier, I don't think this falls into the category of me talking too much.
No, it doesn't. and maybe that's just me saying, no, keep going.
So we have no idea what's happening. That's great.
Oh my God.
That's great.
We don't even know.
Oh my God.
Because we're just good with where we're at.
Okay. So obviously in the insurance industry, what comes with that is a shitload of paperwork.
Mm.
And it scares the living shit out of me.
Mm.
So I used to create all these convoluted structures, these processes, in order to
make it simpler,
which made it super fucking complicated. And all I'm trying to do is get information from the client that I need so that I can pre-fill the application so I can avoid the agony of doing it in front of them.
Okay.
How stupid. Like I'm literally,
I mean, you got nice writing, dude.
That's why I do the block letters too, the capitals, because it makes it legible.
So do you have it that it takes you too long?
I have it that I can't spell.
Okay.
I have it that it takes me too long. And with that, when people like look at me, when they're watching me or when they're present, I'm freaking out. I can hardly spell my name when someone's watching.
Don't fuck it up, man.
Yeah.
You spell your name wrong.
It's your own name. I've written my own name down probably like pushing 100,000 times.
Oh, dude, more than that.
You know, like
for sure.
Yeah. No, and so here's what I realized too is that is having a dramatic impact.
Well, you're trying to create the artificial intelligence to support you in doing that.
Well, no, but I'm saying it's having a dramatic impact on my fucking confidence.
Oh, sure.
It's having an impact on my ability to support and serve the client. Because what ends up happening a lot of times is it's distracting, it's disconnected, they get busy, da 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 da, and all of a sudden it gets delayed. And obviously that has an impact on my business. But what am I standing for? How am I embarrassed to fill out a fucking piece of paperwork when it could potentially save that family? Just do the job, man. Just get, right? So that's exactly what I did today. And it was fucking awesome, man. I felt super empowered in my office with the family there. They had their little daughter there. And I'm like, I felt cool as a cucumber. And I made, you know.
You got to be part of the experience of creating.
Yes. I was with them. It was fucking awesome.
And get that showed up on their side as well. That you're there for them.
Yeah.
That you're there for
them. Yeah, dude. Thank you. Yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's it. And it is all inside of.
You know what? You're right. Because the experience, oh my God, the experience actually, because I was thinking, oh, this will be perfect. I'll get all this stuff filled out. I'll go there. It'll be nice and simple and clean for the client. And I just realized that probably occurs is very transactional. Like we have a conversation and stuff, right? But there's no, like I get to kind of, totally I get to fool around and mess up away? And.
You going away occurs as a transaction.
What do you mean going away?
Well, you going to get the paperwork filled out later occurs as a transaction to them.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like if I get information and then fill it out or whatever.
Whatever the operating system is that you got right now that you got to go fill it out somewhere else because you can't do it there in person with them.
Yeah.
Occurs, will potentially occur as a transaction.
Maybe, yeah.
Most likely. Because that's kind of how it's always gone.
Right.
And then they disappear. They're like, oh my God, am I going to see this guy again?
Right.
Versus you're there for the whole thing.
Dude, thank you.
So that's the difference that you make in creating like support for family.
Yeah.
You are setting a foundation for support for family right at the very beginning.
Yes.
Or you're not putting one in.
It was an entirely different experience. And I'm actually kind of experiencing it now that I look back on it and go, yeah, like, because I was with them. I went through the whole application with them. And explain things and whatever, all the way through to the signing.
That's what you do with me, bro.
That's
how you should do with everybody. Like the experience was like whatever questions that I had, not to say that you don't do this.
No, of course.
But in the moment, there was no rush. There was no rush.
Hmm.
We'll complete this and whatever shows up and we'll complete this. And that was the intention.
Yeah.
And so if it took, and I actually got present to your handwriting there, like, wow, he's got really nice handwriting. And he's like slow and methodical.
I must have been super focused.
Yeah, or like freaking out, one or the other.
You know what? Well, isn't that interesting that you would say, wow, he's got neat handwriting and he's taking his time versus me thinking,
you're taking too long.
I'm taking too long and this is a mess.
We are so fucked up.
Wow, man. Like, see, oh my. I hope people are getting some from this, man, because that we all do it. You got to look, because here's the thing. A lot of people who are listening to this conversation, they might literally think we're fucked. But consider if that's you, you may not actually be as present to what's going on around you and in your world. Maybe take a look. Slow down a little bit and look. Because the human biology, the human biomechanics are some fucked up. It's some fucked up equipment.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that happened, and that I'm now seeing that. Guess what? It's not about me.
Nope.
That's huge, man.
Well, I'm really getting it.
It's not about me.
So it's one thing to say it, but it's not about you. And you go like, "Yeah, I got that."
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you.
It's
right?
Not like, about
it's
you.
It's about them.
It's about them.
It's always about them. No, you idiot. It's not about you. Whatever conversation just showed up there,
yeah.
Shut it down because it's not about you.
And that goes for, like, think of ourselves as a way of being or human beings as contribution.
That we would actually make a difference?
Yeah, like if we were thinking, think about that. If we got outside of our own heads and got out there with people and just focused on contributing and supporting others, that actually would be our experience of life. It's like we're trying to hide out, or we're trying to get, you know, get mine. I got to get mine, or we're trying to hide out.
Oh, give me some.
Yeah. Versus what if you were just, and I'm not saying, you know, maybe you're selling a product, or maybe you're doing this, or you're doing that. But for me, same thing. Like, I'm in my own head. Like, this is about me and me getting through this, rather than being like, hey, guess what? I'm putting potentially embarrassing the shit out of myself on the line for you, because I'm here for you. Mm. And even though the barriers to myself, like, that doesn't even matter. It's not real.
You won't even know that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But do you see what I mean? Like, I'm actually here for you. I don't care what's going on over here with me. Put the A in front of the E. My bad. You know, like, who cares?
In their world,
yeah,
is the exact same thing. That it's okay. So don't worry.
Yeah.
Because it's being created in the moment for you to be familiar with. So we now, because we gravitate towards what we're familiar with and what's safe,
mm-hmm.
and we get to create that world. So we're going to sign off here, episode 4. And one of the things that I want to leave with you is, and listen to the little voice and what it says, and then look at how that's serving you.
Mm.
I think that's a place to start, right? And just listen to how that's serving you. And if it is serving you, then that voice is showing you a path that makes sense for you.
Mm.
But then there's another voice that you also should be listening to.
And just consider too that this isn't about like doom and gloom and things are really always, you know, terrible or bad in our lives. Just so you know, we're super blessed. We're very grateful. We're just getting present to the realities that show up. And if your life is like rocking and you have it, that everything's great, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And still slow down and take a look. Just take a look, because you know what? There's always another level of fulfillment, and always, you know, there's a deeper contribution or a deeper calling that you haven't discovered yet. So just slow down and get present and enjoy, smile.
That's right. Enjoy mm-hmm. life. All right. Peace out.
Thanks, brother. That was awesome. That was fucking crazy.